Phil Kogan, who is the host of The Amazing Race. And Phil joins us live from some airport somewhere now here on KMOX. Hi, Phil. How are you?
I'm good. I'm walking through JFK Airport as we speak, trying to get to a plane.
Oh, you're in New York. Okay. Well, if you have to run to run to the plane, let me know. Do we have a few minutes?
Oh, no. Yeah, no, we're good. We're good.
All right. Well, you know, we're all big Amazing Race fans here on this show, and we're looking forward to it coming back. And I understand that in this show, you and the crew and the contestants, the teams, went to some places you'd never been before.
Yeah, and that's always great. First of all, we went to Hugh Hefner's mansion. Never been there before.
Oh, you started at the Playboy Mansion?
Yeah, no, I never got invited to his place, so that was kind of cool to go there. I was looking for him to poke his head out from behind a window, from behind a curtain, but I didn't see him do that.
You mean The Amazing Race gets permission to go to the Playboy Mansion and Hef doesn't even come out to say hi?
Well, you know what it is. It took us 12 seasons to get permission to be able to go and shoot there. So maybe the next time we go, he might come out and say hi. I don't know.
Did they let you go any place beyond just the lawn? Were you allowed to go inside and check the place out? Go to the grotto? Any of that?
Yeah, we were all through the whole place, checking the whole thing out and hosing it down with lots of shots. No, unfortunately, unfortunately, we were just out on the front lawn. But I was hoping I might run into him. You can hear the boarding announcement there. Sorry about that in the background. But, he didn't come out at all, unfortunately, and neither did any of his girlfriends.
Oh, that's too bad. That's too bad. And now, since you're starting it there in L.A., and this is something I've asked you about in previous seasons, the teams know that they are in Los Angeles, and they know that they're on The Amazing Race, and they know the first thing they're going to have to do is go to the airport. Did any of them this time, Phil, know how to get to LAX?
Yes, there are definitely some teams that knew how to get to LAX, but it's weird what happens to people even when they know how to do something. When they're in a race situation, they'll just do dumb things and make wrong turns, and it's like the brain goes into a different hemisphere when it's put under pressure sometimes. So even the most simple things or things that you would think people would just do instinctively, they don't. They make mistakes. And anyway, we head up from Los Angeles, and then the first port of call is Ireland, which is a new country for the Amazing Race to visit. And through the series, we're also going to be heading to Lithuania and also Croatia. So there are definitely some new countries. And, of course, we've got great new teams. And it's the combination of the new places and the new teams and new faces. That's what really makes it all work.
Do any of these have any of the aromatic qualities of India and the subcontinent?
Oh, I think there's a lot of countries that have their own distinctive smell. when you go to certain places in the United States, you get that great smell too of different places, whether it's great crab cakes from Maryland or whether it's heading down to some great food in near San Diego. This is a great place I'd go to. So yes, believe me, the nose sensories are. They're going wild while we're traveling around the world.
Now, you mentioned that you're going to Ireland, and I was reading a little bit about the show today, and I understand you put the teams through it looks dangerous, high wire stunt. Can you describe that for the audience?
Yeah, it's we're really looking to push people outside their comfort zone, and as you know from The Amazing Race, we've got so-called ordinary people, and in order to push them, we do things that, of course, we need to do safely, but that are going to freak them out a wee bit. So imagine you get off a long flight after flying across the ocean, and then you turn up and you get to a cliff, and you see that there's a cable suspended between two cliffs and at a major height, and then you're told that you have to get from one side to the other using a bicycle.
They have to bike across a high wire?
I'm not going to say any more other than there's a high wire, there's a bicycle, and there's a challenge, and it's getting from one side to the other.
Okay.
But that's not as half as much trouble as a couple of very stubborn creatures that they run into that they need to work with in order to get to the mat to meet me.
Well, adding animals to the show always means there's fun added to the equation. What kind of animals are we talking about this time?
Let's just say that they're very stubborn, and I'll give you three guesses.
Okay, I'm going to go with donkey.
Well, I'm again, Sunday, all your answers will be revealed.
uh, I have a picture from CBS Publicity of the teams that are going to be there. And the team that, of course, caught my eye at first is this couple from Kentucky, Kent and Vixen, K-Y-N-T and V-Y-X-S-I-N, who call themselves a goth couple, dating goths, which I believe that's how they'll be identified on the show, right?
Yep, the goths. And they are determined that they will wear their white and bright makeup and, of course, their bright clothes around the world. They're ready to share their gothicness with all. And really the opposite of what you might typically think when you think of a gothic couple. They're really out to sort of show that, you know what, it's impossible to really judge a book by its cover. They're a tremendous amount of fun. They're certainly not doom and gloom. They do meet some of the stereotypes in the sense that of gothics, in the sense that they don't really like the bright sunshine, which, as you know, on The Amazing Race is kind of something they're going to have to live with, because we end up in some pretty bright sunshine.
Yeah, but you know, when you talk about not meeting the stereotype, they certainly didn't meet my stereotype of goth, which usually means heavy black eyeliner and all of the clothing is normally black. But in this picture I have, they're wearing pink. I've never heard of goths in pink, Phil.
No, I have to tell you that they were a shock to the system when I first saw them. But they've got the heavy eyeliner, you'll be pleased to hear.
Okay. Any other changes to the show? Or are we still going to have non-elimination rounds?
Well, there's been a lot of talk about that. We're always looking for ways to slightly tweak the show and to improve it. And there's been a few tweaks. I won't let you know whether there is or isn't eliminations, other than to say that there'll be a few things that will surprise the viewers, and obviously that means it'll be surprising the teams.
And have all these teams that are on the show this time, have they all watched the show before so they know what they're in for?
Oh, there's nobody who actually, I can't even remember the last time. I don't know if we've ever had anybody who's been on the show who hasn't watched the show, apart from, of course, those people who came in season one who had absolutely no idea what they were in for. But the people that apply now are in the tens of thousands. And, here at the airport, I've already been stopped in the last 10 minutes. And somebody coming up, how can I get onto that show? How can I get onto that show? So, there's no shortage of people wanting to be on the show. And there are definitely people who have seen the show and who feel like they know how they can win the show.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. Do they come in there with a specific strategy about what they're going to do, you know, kind of Robin Amber-esque?
Well, there's certainly a mistake that a lot of people thinking about being on the show make, which is I'm well-traveled, I've got 9 passports and speak 12 languages, and I'm almost as fast as Kyle Lewis was in 100 meters, and I know how to fly a plane upside down, backwards, and every other way.
Yeah.
Those types of people, unfortunately, are almost overqualified. We're not really wanting people to get from point A to point B fast, and we're certainly not selecting them because we think they're going to be efficient and good at getting from point A to point B. Really what we're looking for is who's going to be the most interesting, and I think goths with heavy eyeliner and the pink clothing is a little more interesting than some elite athletes screaming from one point to another across the world.
And Phil, I always enjoy how whether they are dating and trying to get back together or married or what have you, I always enjoy seeing how the relationships play out under this kind of pressure.
Yeah, I've always wondered myself why so many couples seem to want to come on The Amazing Race to test their relationship. I think therapy might be a little cheaper, maybe less, and maybe more effective. But anyway, a number of couples say, hey, yeah, we want to come on The Amazing Race because we want to test our relationship. Well, I'll tell you what, it gets tested out here for sure. And they find out very quickly whether they're compatible. And look, it's tough enough going for a weekend drive. Now if you up the ante and take it around the world, and you're out with somebody that maybe you're trying to improve your relationship with that person. That's a recipe for great television, no matter how you look at it.
Absolutely. And that's the key to the success of this show. It's not just a travelogue. It's also, you know, these people who already have this existing relationship. They're not thrown into something. They've known each other before, and all that baggage is coming along with their luggage, if you will, as they go along. Now, because we've had you on so many times, you know that my favorite part of The Amazing Race is rooting for a middle-aged bald guy. So who am I rooting for this time, Phil?
Well, every single man on The Amazing Race, including the Gothic, is a middle-aged, balding man.
No, that's not true. You know that's not true. Don't lie to me.
Yeah, well, no, that hair that you see on Ken's head, the Gothic, that's actually a toupee that's studded on there. Every single man is middle-aged and bald in honor of you because you're being such a supporter of the show and you're such a fan of the show. And so I would just like to, we wanted to honor you, basically.
Well, I love that answer, Phil.
Well, this is The Amazing Race Paul Harris edition.
There we are.
That's very, very
every
flattering.
Man in America edition.
Middle-aged, bold man, you are team number one.
But somehow I'm still eliminated. How does that work out?
No.
All right. Well, I'm looking forward to seeing it debuting Sunday night right after 60 Minutes on Channel 4 and the rest of the CBS television network all across the country. And it's always a pleasure talking to you, Phil. And I hope we can catch up with you later in the season.
Well, I hope to, too. And your timing is impeccable. I'm literally having to walk on the plane as we speak. So,
all right.
Once again, your timing is impeccable.
It's always a good pleasure having you on. Have a good flight.
You got it.
Phil Kogan from The Amazing Race, passing by the roadblock and detour that is the Paul Harris Show. You're on News Talk 1120 KMOX.